Now, what question am I going to ask? That's the question I was going to ask. And what question was I going to ask? Yes.
What do you remember from today?
Yes, that's it was a choice between what do you remember from today, what struck you from today, or what do you remember from yesterday, which is an even more difficult question. Which one should we start with? It's another question. Okay, what do you remember from yesterday's class? Anyone remember anything from the Qatar yesterday? It's always a very difficult question to answer. Yes, Paul.
One point that came up was envy comes from your own dissatisfaction.
Yeah, you can't be envious unless you're dissatisfied.
And that, like, the goal of a renown is not have any of that envy.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you very much. What's your name?
Kriti.
Kriti. And where do you live?
I live in New Jersey.
New Jersey?
Yeah.
United States.
I know New Jersey.
Yeah. We're both live now.
Yeah.
He lives in the US with his sister.
Oh. You're his sister, huh?
No.
Oh, okay.
The USA.
Okay, good. Take care of him. Okay, anyone remember anything else from yesterday's class? You raise your hand first, but first we're going to call on the sister.
You were saying that everybody in Vrindavan says, when they talk about Krishna, it's not just I am his, but he is mine.
Yeah. That feeling that he's mine, my Krishna. Yeah.
Something that stayed with me was that Krishna's smile is just realizing our desires.
Krishna realizes he wants our desires? I don't think he'd smile if he'd realize my desires. But, I mean, if you're the devotees of Vrindavan. Oh, give him a headache. Yes, and does anyone, what struck you most from today's outing? I know where you went. You went to Vrindakund, and you went to Ter Kadamba, and you went to Javat. Now, I can probably guess. Everyone think of, out of all the things that happened today, which was your favorite? Everyone think about it. And I'm going to call on someone. Again, I'm going to call on someone without you knowing who I'm going to call on. And that person will reveal the best of what, more or less, what everyone is thinking. Okay, what was the best? Raise your hand if you'd like to say. Please raise your hand. It's just the best thing that you liked of all the things today. I mean, you know, it's very relative, subjective. No grading you. But I want to see who else raised their hand before I call on Bhagwan or something. Abhay, after all I've done for you, you won't even raise your hand. He's still holding on to that water bottle to raise his hand.
My favorite part of the day was going to Ter Kadamba.
You mean the road to Ter Kadamba?
No, please.
No, you mean the road to Ter Kadamba. I'm sorry. No, Ter Kadamba. How many of you really like the walk to Ter Kadamba? Yeah.
We did the opposite way around, so we did Ter Kadamba.
Oh, no wonder. Okay. You went to that's right, to Ter Kadamba. Yeah, that. I didn't do very well at my mind reading, but anyway. How many of you really like the walk to Ter Kadamba, the walk to Javat from Ter Kadamba? Yeah. What did you like about it? Yes. That won't work. What did you like about it, Bhupen?
Well, we all went barefoot, and I think, like, this was really feeling quite a bit. And got some really good jokes on it.
And what was the last?
Got some good jokes on it.
Yeah. You felt close with your feet touching the dust of Vrindavan. You felt closer to Vrindavan. There's so many devotees who won't wear shoes even in Vrindavan. They want to touch the dust of Vrindavan continuously. What do you remember from Vrindakund? I know how to get you to raise your hand. I'm going to call on someone who doesn't raise their hand. Now, what do you remember from Vrindakund? That stuck you. Yes?
I think yesterday when you were asking us what our favorite parts about Vrindavan were, for me it was the monkeys and how funny they were. And my reason for that was because they remind me of Krishna and how cheeky he is. And they kind of reinforced that whole mood for me. But I didn't want to say it because I thought it was a bit lame. Because then I'll be a monkey in my next life. Because you went to so many nice temples, and the thing I took away was the monkeys. But then
you took away the monkeys.
Yeah.
Please return them.
And then we're talking about Vrinda Devi and how she represents the paraphernalia and everything. And it was Mohan who told me to read. What was it? And it's about how all the paraphernalia adds to the lila and how important the paraphernalia and all the animals are.
Yes.
So then I realized it wasn't that lame.
Yeah. How nice. Okay, you ready? Now this is what would happen. The scene has been set, all the paraphernalia has been organized by Vrinda Devi. In this way, because Krishna and Balarama are in the forest with all the coward boys and the cows, this is on page 158, the first full paragraph. In this way, Lord Krishna and Balaram began to enjoy the residence of Vrindavan to their full satisfaction as they herded the calves and cows on the bank of the Jamuna. In some places, Krishna and Balaram were accompanied by their friends. The boys were singing, imitating the humming sound of the drones and accompanying Krishna and Balaram, who were garlanded with forest flowers. The boys would make garlands, it's called vanamala, of forest flowers made into garlands. And Krishna preferred those, a garland of the flowers made from the forest of Vrindavan, more than the garlands of great jewels. This was the offering of all the plants and the trees. This was what they had to offer. So I once read a commentary by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the Bhagavatam that I couldn't find it again. But it explained that we are all individuals. Now, we one day asked the question, what does it mean to be a person? What does it mean to be an individual? Now that was clearly a raise of the hand. Yeah? Yes, what does it mean to be an individual?
Okay, so I think to be an individual means to recognize one's own unique traits and personality.
Yes. We can't avoid being individuals, but to develop our individuality is very important. And each of us being individuals, you can't have a duplicate individual. There's only one of each of us. And if you look around, you can see that clearly, that there's no two, even if there's identical twins, they're not identical. They're not exactly the same. So individuality means that you have a speciality that no one else has. And when one takes that speciality and offers it to Krishna, That's the perfection of one's individual existence. When one offers that with great devotion and love. So it is said that even though Krishna, Vishnu, Vishwanath Chagavati Thakur says in the mysterious purport commentary that I can't find, that we are all individuals. And Krishna, even though he's complete, and he's the absolute truth, and he has unlimited happiness, still, because we are individuals, we can give him something, offer him something with devotion that no one else can give him. Even though he's served by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis, of goddesses of fortune, and thousands of cows, and thousands of cowherd boys, but still, each of us, as individuals, can give Krishna something that no one else can give. And that's basically ourself. And just like when we offer a flower to Prabhupada or to the deities, what we're doing is not offering a flower, because Krishna says bhakti paritam, when it's offered with devotion, when the flower is grown with devotion, or the fruit, or the fruit, flower, or vegetable, and then grown with devotion, cooked with devotion, then offered with devotion, then Asnami Panatam and I will accept it. So each of us, so when we're offering a flower, it is not exactly the flower that we're offering. Or yes, we are offering the flower, but it's not exactly the flower that we're offering. The flower is the external manifestation of the internal desire to give something to Krishna. And that is called bhakti. So when there's bhakti, when there's an internal desire to give something to Krishna, then whatever we give with that bhakti, Krishna wants that. And if we give thousands of those flowers and fruits without bhakti, he doesn't have so much of a taste. So our individuality is when we coat that speciality that we have and offer that to Krishna with great devotion. Then Krishna has unlimited ability to accept the unlimited offering of his unlimited devotees and increase. Even though he's infinite, his pleasure is infinite, it still increases. And this is something that's quite unique, in a sense. Because it is said there are Vaikuntha planets and there's Goloka Vrindavan. And Goloka Vrindavan is infinite, and the Vaikuntha planets are infinite, but yet the infinite Goloka Vrindavan planet is bigger than the infinite Vaikuntha planets. Infinite means unlimited. So how can something be unlimited but bigger than another unlimited? That we can't understand. Like when Lord Brahma tested Krishna, he wanted to see, could this possibly be my master? He's just standing there like a cowherd boy, and he's holding food in his left hand. Now, even a village boy knows that you don't eat food. No. Rice mixed with yogurt and fruit, you don't hold it in your left hand. And he's Jagya Bhuk, which means the enjoyer of all sacrifices. And he's walking around without shoes, just a village boy. And he's carrying food. And could it be possible that he's my Lord, the all-powerful Supreme Lord? So he wanted to test to see if it was true. So we all know that he took away the calves and took away the boys. And then finally, not finally, but then he came back in a moment and he saw that the boys and calves were still there. So he looked in the place that he hid them, which was in a cave, and he saw that they were still in the cave. And then he rushed back and saw they were still with Krishna. And he was wondering, maybe they keep switching back and forth. When I go there, they're there. And then when I go there, they're there. But then Krishna did something quite miraculous that in popular New York vernacular, we would say, it blew Lord Brahma's mind. And what he did was, there he was, there were the cowherd boys and the cows, and then they all manifested their actual forms as Vishnu forms. And they entered into Krishna's body, and then they came out of Krishna's body, this little cowherd boy. And each of those Vishnu forms were covered with tulsi, and they were being worshipped by all the living entities in the universes. And most astoundingly, each of those unlimited cowherd boys and cows that had turned into four-armed Vishnu forms, they all were unlimited in power. So unlimiteds came from Krishna, this cowherd boy. And Lord Brahma, being so intelligent, tried to grasp how could unlimited entities, each who are unlimited, come from how powerful he must be. And he fainted. Just trying to grasp the concept of what unlimiteds coming from this one little cowherd boy who's just standing there with his flute tucked into his waistband, his buffalo horn and his stick, just looking at Brahma with a peacock feather upon his head, so beautiful, so cute, and yet unlimitedly unlimited. So inconceivability. Of course the Supreme must be inconceivable and have achintya shakti, inconceivable potencies. So they were Krishna and Balaram were accompanied by their friends, and the boys were, what do you do when you're with the unlimited source of unlimiteds? Well, they were exchanging love. Could you imagine how boring it would be to be God if all you had to do was you have all these people praying to you for all the things that they want? And all day long, that's all, and then you had to create the universes and then destroy the universes, and then all day long people, could you give me this and stop this from happening? My enemy's stocks all go down and my stocks all go up. And all day long. May I have a son, may I have a daughter, may on and on and on and on. College degrees for my children and on and on. Could you imagine if that's what God had to do all day long? But what does he love to do? He loves to exchange, to be with people who love him in that special way that is Vrindavan. You are ours, Krishna. You are ours. And it's not even that they don't know he's the Supreme. That comes out in many places. And it's not that they don't want to think about him being the Supreme and all-powerful, but rather the sweetness of their love overpowers their consciousness of his supreme power and wealth, etc. Just their love is so great and overwhelming. That's Vrindavan. And in a special mood of Mamata, he is ours. Anyone have any questions? So, what did Krishna do with the cowherd boys? They herded the calves and cows on the bank of the Yamuna. In some places, Krishna Balaram were accompanied by their friends. The boys were singing, imitating the humming sound of the drones and accompanying Krishna and Balaram, who were garlanded with forest flowers. These plants and trees, this was the offering of their hearts, their full bhakti love to Krishna in the form of these flowers. And the peacocks, when they would dance, they would drop their feathers when they would dance for Krishna's pleasure, and Krishna would pick up a feather and honor it in that way. While walking, the boys sometimes imitated the quacking sounds of the swans in the lake. Now, I know you can do peacocks and cows and quail birds. Can anyone quack like a swan and not be quacking like a duck? I don't know how to do it myself. Quack. There's a quack pot back there. Quack, quack, quack. I don't know it. I've never heard the sound of a swan, actually. I've heard ducks. So the boys would imitate them. Or when they saw the peacocks dancing, they imitated them before Krishna. I know in the back of Gokul Raj's house, there's a big, not the one directly there, but further back, there's a big peepal tree. And if you ever wondered why there's so many people in India, it's because they have so many peepal trees. Those are the jokes, by the way. If you don't laugh at the jokes, what are we going to do? But once, when the wind was blowing through that tree, it made this sound. It was so interesting, the leaves of that tree. It was exactly like the sound of a peacock with its plumes extended. Have any of you ever seen a peacock? Yeah. It makes this sound like... Yeah, just like that. That's really good. You've seen it and heard him.
Yeah.
And the peepal tree was doing the same thing. It was making that sound with the leaves. So interesting. So alive. So raise your hand if you've seen peacocks dancing. Raise your hand if you've not seen peacocks dancing. Now, you know when you have to come to Vrindavan next time to see peacocks dancing? Around Radhastami, just at the rainy season. Then when the thunder goes, then the peacocks, you hear them all going. And they were all, and they also dance. Yes. Krishna also moved his neck like a peacock, imitating the dancing. And he made his friends laugh. The cows taken care of by Krishna had different names. And Krishna would call the cows by their names with love. And after hearing Krishna calling, the cows would immediately respond by mooing. The cows would immediately respond by mooing. Oh, Davali! Oh, Pingali! Oh, Hungsi! Oh, Vamsi! Oh, Priya! This is sadhana. And after hearing Krishna calling, the cows would immediately respond by mooing, and the boys would enjoy the exchange to their heart's content. And that's what Terkadamba was you visited. Did you go to that tree in the back? And that's where it said that Krishna would climb a big tree there, and he would call the cows by their names, and they would come. And, yeah, he would call them with such affection, they would come. And he would count them. Did Daktini Mataji say that they had a string of gems? And the cows would be grouped according to, like Pingali, I know, is the spotted cows. And then there's the white cows and the gray cows. And so they'd be grouped. And Krishna making sure that none, that all were accounted for. He would count, he would call them by name, and then when that group would come, he would, and he would have 108 beads, pearls, or jewels on the beads, so he would keep track of them in that way. So, I'm sorry for doing this, but that was the first calculator. these are all. Please excuse me. Sometimes I lose control.
Moo.
Oh yeah, the boys would enjoy the exchange to their heart's content. They would all imitate the sound vibrations made by different kinds of birds, especially the chakoras, the peacocks, the cuckoos or the quail, and baradrajas. Sometimes, when they would see the weaker animals fleeing out of fear of the sound of tigers and lions, any tigers and lions? That's a pig. You could do peacocks dancing, but I think and once I went to the zoo in Perth once, and when there was a lion and he was in a glass case, but when he roared, fear came to my heart because they have so much power. Have any of you ever heard a lion roar? A real live lion roar? You're such protected creatures. Did you ever go to the zoo? Don't feed the animals. So when they'd see the weaker animals fleeing out of fear of the sound of tigers and lions, this is the playing they were doing just in this natural environment. The boys, along with Krishna and Balaram, would imitate the animals and run away with them. When they felt some fatigue, they would sit down, and Balaram would put his head on the lap of one of the boys just to take rest, and Krishna would immediately come and begin massaging the legs of Balaram. And sometimes Krishna would take a palm fan, the leaf, and fan the body of Balaram, causing a pleasing breeze to relieve him of his fatigue. Other boys would sometimes dance or sing while Balaram took rest, and sometimes they would wrestle amongst themselves or jump. When the boys were thus engaged, Krishna would immediately join them, and catching their hands, he would enjoy their company and laugh and praise their activities. And when Krishna would feel tired and fatigued, he would sometimes take shelter of the root of a big tree or the lap of a coward boy and lie down. And when he would lie down with a boy or a root as a pillow, some of the boys would come and massage his legs, and some would fan his body with a fan made from leaves. And some of the more talented boys would sing in very sweet voices just to please him. Thus very soon his fatigue would go away. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, whose legs are tended by the Goddess of Fortune, shared himself with the coward boys as one of them, expanding his internal potency to appear exactly like a village boy. So he disguised himself. There's this one in this chapter. There's a Sanskrit verse that I don't remember. It is so wonderful that in this, this is what it says. In this way, Krishna. Because when you're thinking about Krishna and his pastimes, especially in Vrindavan, you have to have a divided mind in one sense at our stage of devotion. One is understanding that he's the unlimited, all-powerful, Supreme Personality of Godhead who has all his desires fulfilled automatically. He has Icha Shakti. He has potencies that immediately, as he desires something, they immediately arrange to fulfill those desires. He's not in need of anything. He's all-powerful. Universes come from his skin holes. We can't even conceive of what unlimitedly powerful means. we look up in the sky at night and we see the sky is filled with so many stars and planets, and we think, how did they all get there? How are they just hanging in space? How is the moon, which is when you go out from here, just look at the moon just hanging right over the Mahananda building. It's just hanging there. So we look up at night and think, how could this all happen? That's power. But what is unlimited power? We can't conceive of how unlimitedly unlimited is Krishna's power. And yet, and here's what we do in the second eye, or the second compartmentalized part of our brain, we think there he is, playing with his friends, imitating the humming sound of bees, climbing trees with his nails, picking a flower, getting tired, allowing the boys to fan him, to massage him. And as Prabhupada puts it here, sharing himself with the coward boys as if he was one of them. So how do you put these two pieces together? The unlimited Supreme Lord Krishna and this boy who likes to play in this amazing way, or common way, as if he was a village boy. Do you see what I mean? That Vrindavan is the land of inconceivability. The impossible continuously happens here. Maybe you understood a little about that when you visited the temples in Vrindavan yesterday and you survived and came back and the land of inconceivability, so crowded. But seriously, it is the land that attracts Krishna to perform these simple pastimes, playing, wrestling, that are simultaneously inconceivable because of who he is. And what is it that causes Krishna to share himself? What would it be like to touch a person whose body was composed of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, who you loved completely? Their love is what attracts Krishna. And still, in one sense, more amazingly, and this is described, the secret of the Rath Yatra festival. How many of you have attended a Rath Yatra festival? Probably everyone. Even Abhay. Is that true, Abhay? Have you attended one? Did you become afraid in any time in Vrindavan?
Afraid?
Afraid.
Yeah, sometimes.
Huh?
Sometimes, yeah.
What did you become afraid of?
Like when the dogs come close to me.
Huh?
When the dogs and monkeys come close to me.
Yeah. You know, I've seen there's two kinds of dogs in Vrindavan. I mean, maybe there's more, but I always think of them as two. I'm not sure I should recommend that you find out which of the two any particular dog is, but some, like that dog who visited us that first day, they have very soft eyes, and they're suffering. And that suffering is making them softer. And then in the next life, it's over. And then there's these other kind who have very angry eyes. And if you go near, they bark and bark and bark, and they don't. Have you noticed that? Yeah, the soft ones never give trouble. And the angry ones always give trouble. So what, going back to the question, what is it that causes Krishna to be in this land of Vrindavan And most amazingly, as the Rath Yatra ceremony really indicates, that even when Radha and Sisi, Radha and Krishna together, it's not the same unless Vrindavan is there. So how special is Vrindavan? And everyone, it seems to me, who comes to Vrindavan notices that there's something special. Has anyone had, this is maybe a private type of question, I won't go into details unless someone wants to answer the details. Has a little miracle happened to anyone during this visit while you're in Vrindavan? I mean, this is an example. I know someone, there was many years ago, half the year I live in Australia, so one of Jagtwini Mataji's dear friends, whose name was Sichi Rani, it was time for her to leave the world. Oh, I could tell you a few stories on this, but I don't want to go too far astray. But her family were all strict atheists. Very heavy atheists, but they came to visit her in Vrindavan because it was time for her to leave. So her brother, younger brother, was a doctor, an anesthesiologist. Is there any anesthesiologists in the room? No. But anyway, he was an atheist. So we were walking, I was walking. For some reason or another, I walked to the desk, which at that time, this was quite a few years ago, 20 years ago, in Krishna Balaram guest house. And by chance, he walked to that same desk. And at the exact same time, someone came with a parcel and said, does anyone know who Phil is? I have a parcel for Phil. And that was his brother. And the synchronicity of that was so amazing. It was exact timing. So I said to him, what's the statistical odds of that happening? If you weren't there at that moment, no one would have known who that package was for. It was a medicinal package for his sister. I said, what are the odds of that happening? And he said, it was impossible. And this was an atheist. And Prabhupada said, even when an atheist comes to Vrindavan, they will experience separation from Krishna. So something pulls on the heart. And I don't know if Jagatirini told you or showed you or told you about her Gopinath deity. But anyway, she has a deity of Gopinath, and she makes these altars. She's such an artist. She makes these altars and has lights decorating them, and Gopinath is about this big. So Suchi Rani, she didn't want to leave this world in Vrindavan. She wanted to go back because she was afraid. The facilities weren't very good. Her family was far away. She wanted to go back to Perth where they had more efficient in hospitals and everything. But her health became so bad that she couldn't travel. So she was forced to accept that she was going to leave this world in Vrindavan. And then she did. She passed away while chanting. So after she had passed away, and Jagtwini had the altar set up, and with Gopinath there, and the lights were all on, little lights. So we were all speaking about Suchi Rani and her passing. So I said that Suchi Rani didn't want to leave. She didn't want to leave this world in Vrindavan. She wanted to go to Perth and leave the world. Leave this world, pass away, die. But Gopinath tricked her into staying to Vrindavan. And as soon as I said Gopinath Trikta, the lights on the altar began flashing on and off. And these things, or you could say, well, electricity problem, this, that. Everyone knows that Vrindavan has electricity problems. But everyone knew. And that's what the kind of miracles that happen in Vrindavan are. You can explain it in a different way, but Krishna touches you. I think of it as he like taps you on the shoulder and lets you know, I'm here. So when I mean miracles, I don't mean like seas parting and flowers, you know, flowers pouring from the wind and stuff like that. But I mean just little subtle things that shouldn't be happening according to a material explanation, but they do happen, and very commonly in Vrindavan. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Okay, some people know what I'm talking about. Okay, good. But in any case, Vrindavan is so special, and that was the point, that even if Radha and Krishna, Sisi Radha and Krishna are present, they cannot be together in the same way as they are in Sri Vrindavan Dham. It has a special sweetness. And you know what that special sweetness is? I guess this is one of those questions, if you know, you can raise your hand and I'll definitely call on you. But if you, no one raises the hand, I'll say what it is. Because I read it in one of the prayers of Raghunath Das Goswami. One of the poems that he wrote. He explains that Vrindavan is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. Even though we know that the Dham is expansion of Sandini Sakti, Lord Balaram, he says that Vrindavan is her forest, it's an expansion of Radharani, and it is her friend. So it is made for Krishna's pleasure, and Krishna's pleasure is dealing with all these different dealings, especially with Srimati Radharani. So this is all very deep and mysterious things that we're not really capable of understanding, but yet it is wonderful. At least I could say, I'm not capable of understanding. You are all special, more special. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, whose legs are tended by the Goddess of Fortune, shared himself. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that means Bhagawan, all-powerful, all-knowledge, all-strength, all-beauty, all-wisdom, all-renunciation, and all-fame. Unlimited Krishna, he shares himself with the coward boys as if he was one of them. That, even though it's such a simple statement, is so mysterious. Because then when we look into it further, we ask, why does he do that? What causes he who is fully self-satisfied to share himself and play with these boys as if he was a coward boy? So we should think about that and understand how powerful love for Krishna is and how special Krita Punja Punja, how special these parikars, these associates of Krishna are. And how fortunate we are to even by hearing about them. Now here's a question. Why is it fortunate, and I'm only going to ask Aravinda this one, why is it fortunate to hear about Krishna, even hearing about him is so fortunate? Go ahead, please. Why do you stay in Vrindavan when you come? You've only come three times, but each time you can't leave. I don't know why. Why?
Because
Did you ever ask yourself why you don't like to leave?
It's all attractive.
Huh?
It's all attractive.
What's all attractive?
Krishna.
Okay. What aspect of Krishna are you most attracted to?
His relationships with his devotees.
What is it about Krishna's relationship with his devotees that attracts you?
The sweetness and the priya.
And how do you get a taste of that sweetness? No, you just ruined my whole question and teasing you. You won again. You can't defeat this fellow. Okay, I lose. But you answered the question. Why is it so important to hear? Because if we hear from Srila Prabhupada, some little bit of sweetness and some little taste may enter our hearts. And what that means is that we think, oh, even if it's just, I wonder if it would be like what it would be like to taste what they're tasting. To touch someone whose body is composed of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. But what is it that causes him to share himself? And then a follow-up question. What is it that I want in the realm of matter? And do the two fit together? So we ask all these questions, and the result of asking those questions, I find when you ask both sides of the question, because as soon as you ask, what is it that I'm looking for in the world of matter, that can compare the sweetness, then I find that doesn't lessen my attachment to the things of matter in one sense, but it makes me more humble because I realize that I'm quite foolish, that I'm attached to things that don't bring satisfaction, true satisfaction. So what to do in that case when we find that we have material attachments? And one solution is we use everything, whoever we are, whatever our situation is, whoever we are, let us use it to our best ability in Krishna's service. And therefore, because that's the paradox of being in the material world. Here we are in the material world, we're not in the spiritual world. Maybe we have a little bit of taste for the spirit, maybe we have a great taste for the spiritual world, but here I am in the material world. In this body that's aging very rapidly in some cases like mine. And yet the attachments are there. So whatever it is that Krishna has gifted each and every one of us with, whatever is our individuality, let us try to make that an offering to Krishna. That's, in one sense, the best we can do in this world. You, whatever Krishna sort of throws at us, gives us, gifts us, somehow we get by our fate, by our karma, let us try to think of it like a flower. Whatever it is, and we each have gifts. And let us take the flower of our gift and see if we can offer it to Krishna and Krishna's dear devotees. The first day when we were talking, when Jagatwini Mataji was sitting here, I told you that little story. We were sitting right before a big program in the Philippines, and Prabhupada there was this little flag in the room, and he just touched it and he broke it. He said, "Just see." But then he said, "It is my desire that everyone in the universe becomes Krishna conscious. Please help me fulfill that." So I told you that, yes. So there's enough room for everything and everyone, and such a big vision. So you too have a place to make your offerings if you so desire. So I, this verse in Sanskrit, I wish I remembered it. It's so sweet. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, whose legs are tended by the Goddess of Fortune, shared himself with the cowherd boys as one of them. He acted just like a cowherd boy, expanding his internal potency to appear exactly like a village boy. But despite his appearing just like a village boy, there were occasions when he proved himself to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Isha Chastitaha. I remember one word from the verse. Isha Chastitaha. So even though he was Gramya, but even though he was Gramya Vash, he was like a village boy, but still he didn't lose his power at all. He was still Isha Chastita. He had the ability to perform the chasta or the activities of the Isha, of the Supreme Lord. And then Prabhupada gives a kick to those who say that they're God but aren't. He says, sometimes men pose themselves as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and cheat innocent people, but they can only cheat. They cannot exhibit the potency of God. Okay. Thank you. Any questions, Hum? How much time do we have left?
15 minutes.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Yes.
How do we find our individuality or our gifts?
Just move forward and use whatever it is that you have, whatever you can do, even if it's you think it's little and insignificant, and even if you think someone else can do it better than you, you just go for it. Just try your best. And it may not be big or seemingly significant, but if we can just offer it. So, yeah. One way to think about it is, just close your eyes. No peeking. Because I'm going to keep my eyes open. You're peeking. Okay, just go in front of a place in Vrindavan that you're really connected to and bring up the image of that place in your mind. And if there's a deity there, you can bring that deity a garland or fruit or jewels. Or if there's just the dust of Vrindavan there, you can bow to that dust and roll in that dust. Just find something, some place that you're connected to. And when you're there, see if somewhere within you, you can make that prayer of, I would like to offer you something. Perhaps with my words, perhaps with my deeds, perhaps with my intelligence, perhaps with my money. These are four that Prabhupada once mentioned to me. I would like to offer you something. It may not be very great, because after all, I'm very tiny. Now, please accept it, and then find something to offer Krishna. Just for your pleasure, Krishna. Please accept this gesture of my perhaps immature desire to please you, but please accept it. If you accept it, I'll be so fortunate. There can be devotees that you hand it into their hand, Vaishnavas, Guru, Maharaj, Prabhupada. You can put that offering, if it's the kind of offering you can put in their hand, you can put it in their hand and ask it to pass it on to Krishna. I once saw Prabhupada in his rooms in Mayapur. Some Mataji had given him a bookmark. And he said, it was given to me with such devotion. It was made with such devotion. How could I not accept it? And then offer a prayer. Giriraj Govardhan is very kind. The dust of Vrindavan is kind. The devotees are kind. The Yamuna is kind. Krishna Balaram Vedashama Sundar. Sisi Gaur Nitai are kind. Nityananda Prabhu, he had a very unique preaching strategy. He would approach someone and roll on the ground. He would roll on the ground and beg them, please, please give yourself to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I only have that request. So approach someone who is very kind. Srila Prabhupada on Radhastami in London, he said to take a flower and put it in the hand of Srimati Radharani. He said that Radharani was Krishna's compassion. Please recommend me to your Krishna, he said. And Radharani's mood is, Srimati Radharani's mood is, oh, this devotee is so much a better devotee than I am. Who can understand the inconceivability of the spiritual world, the hearts of these unlimited spiritual living persons. And then when you want, maybe you could ask if you could take a little prasadam back with you. And then when you want, you can open your eyes slowly, 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 and come back to our room in Vrindavan with Giriraj so close. Now we understand why Aravind doesn't, he stays in Vrindavan for 3.5 months at a time. Is that true?
6 months.
6 months. How long will you spend this time?
6 months.
What will you do? And then, where will you go after that? America in general, or any particular place, or?
Florida.
Huh?
Alaska, Florida.
Okay. Do you know what you're going to do when you return? Collect enough money to come back to India. Okay. No, really, do you know what you'll do?
Yeah, finish my degree.
In what?
Computer science.
It's quite a contrast. You won again. Okay, anyone have any questions or comments? We still have a few more minutes left. Rupa, did you raise your hand? Finger, Rupa.
Can you suggest any advice or tips on how we can take this time and Vrindavan with us back home?
Yes. But it's a secret. They'll be revealed on the very last day.
Me and Rupa aren't going to be here.
Sorry, you lost. You're not going to be here? To Dallas, and we'll go back to
Baltimore.
Is anyone else from Baltimore here? Yeah, we'll go back to Baltimore. You'll be here on the last day. It's all in your hands. Reveal it to the Baltimore buses. When at the Governor retreats, we often answer that question by saying, listen to the recordings. And it's so hard that you can't exactly take it with you. Especially the Govanar Shilas, you can't take with you. But it's hard. But something will stick. Something sticks. But yet, there's a surprise that shall be revealed in time. It's pretty dramatic, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What will we do when you leave, though? Any other questions? There are people in this room who know what the surprise is, but I won't say who they are because you'll harass them. Anyone else have any? Yes.
Yesterday we read that the impersonalists take birth as trees. My understanding was they go in the Brahma Jyoti, so can you explain?
The perfect impersonalists who are considered the most unfortunate will go into Brahmanda. But once, and I think Prabhupada was really, really referring to those who weren't perfected in person. But I once gave a class in front of Prabhupada, except not exactly in front of him. In 1968, he was in New Vrindavan. He was upstairs in his quarters, and I was asked to give Bhagavatam class. And the class was on something to do with Srila Sukadeva Goswami and how he was an impersonalist, and then he chose to be a personalist. And so one devotee, when it was time for questions, he said, perhaps that doesn't mean, because we say that means that shows that personalism is higher than impersonalism, because an impersonalist wanted something higher, you don't want something lower. So we usually say that means that personalism is higher than impersonalism. So he said, maybe it isn't that personalism is higher than impersonalism. Maybe it was just his individual choice. That's what he wanted. So I answered, and then everyone in the room ganged up on him and chastised him, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Said, if the highest isn't personal, if he's impersonal, how could he make a personal choice? And there's the four Kumaras, and this and that, and this and that. So then he having been soundly defeated by everyone, it was over. And then right after the class, we went up the stairs to where Prabhupada was staying, these winding steel stairs. And I went up, and he said, so they put the questions to you. I said, yes, Prabhupada. And then one Mataji, Arundhati Mataji. Do you know Arundhati? Anyone know Arundhati?
Arundhati.
No, she's an author. She's a writer. You know her? She's a nice lady?
I mean, not considered nice by many.
Do you like her?
I don't have a personal opinion.
You should be a politician. You did quite well with that one. But anyway, it wasn't her. It was Prabhupada's disciple named Arundhati, who was married to Pradyumna. Pradyumna is very Prabhupada's Sanskrit scholar. So she asked Prabhupada, is it that impersonalists always fall down from Brahman, or they sometimes fall down? And Prabhupada answered, they always fall down. And then she asked, why? And Prabhupada thought for a while. And he said, because they get lonely. And he said that they fall down from their position, and then they end up doing some social work or something like that. And he explained that that's ridiculous. They say the whole world is illusion. It's like a dream. And then they do social work in the dream to cure a person of a disease or a problem that doesn't really exist because it's only a dream. So he said that they always will come down to some other platform because there is no spiritual engagement. They don't have the qualification for the spiritual engagement. So they have to fall down, must fall down to the material platform. Any other questions? any comments? Any deep spiritual realizations you'd like to share? Any favorite experiences that you would like to express? Any complaints? That is usually yes. Everyone? Okay. Since we're exactly on time, everyone just this mudra, when it's usually used for swagatam, welcome. And usually I go like this, but it's really supposed to be by the heart. It opens up the heart chakra. So everyone make a deep prayer, or make a prayer to Sisi Kornatai and Srila Prabhupada, who are right here. To Giriraj, who is right there. Okay, when you're finished, you can open your eyes. And raise your hand if you were able to make a serious prayer. That was